Let's go back to Leviticus 24. We began a few weeks ago to look at the tabernacle, and we've just looked at it generally, and then we've also looked at it at some of the furnishings in it. And maybe you're thinking, as we look at the lampstand and the oil and so on, maybe you're thinking to yourself this morning, well, here I am. Look, I'm a sophisticated 21st century person. What do instructions about olive oil lamps in a tent 3,000 years ago, 3,000 miles away, have to do with me? You know, I'm an internet savvy person living in the space age, living in the nuclear age. I have no need for this stuff about olive oil lamps. Isn't it just about as useful for me to hear about olive oil lamps as it would have been for Aaron back in those days to hear about how to operate my LED table lamp at home? Would have been no use to him. Well, my LED table lamp is just an LED table lamp. The lamps in the tabernacle that we're going to look at today were told, were given to people by God. God said, this is what I want you to make. And I'm wanting you to do this for a purpose. Because as we've already seen, the tabernacle is a God-given thing. It's a symbol. It's a great visual aid. It's a great picture of Jesus and his church. It's a great picture of the work of Jesus and about how the church comes to God through Jesus. It's perhaps the most elaborate visual aid that the earth has ever seen. And the fact is that if we do study this, and like I said, I've been ministering here 27 years and I've been scared to touch the tabernacle all that time. But if we do look at this and try and work on it, we will get a deeper understanding of Jesus out of it and a relationship to God. That's what we'll get. And we won't just get lost in instructions about how to build bits of furniture and curtains and things in a tabernacle. We'll actually see Jesus. And because of that, we'll understand God and ourselves better. We've already looked at the tabernacle. If you've got your wee diagram in front of you, you'll see that there's an outer courtyard and then there's an inner tent, and it's divided into two parts. In the smaller part, which is called the Most Holy Place, is the Ark of the Covenant. We've looked at that already. And then outside in the slightly larger part, there's three bits of furniture. There's the altar of incense. We looked at that. And we saw that the altar of incense was there before God, and the incense was rising up before God. And it was like a picture of our prayers and our devotion rising up to God. Prayers and devotion which are made perfect in Jesus. And then we saw also in that compartment, in that room that's called the Holy Place, we saw there's a table on which bread was placed. And the bread was the product of the labours of Israel in the fields. They brought this fine flour, they made the bread, and they placed it before God, just like saying, we're offering something to you. We're offering to you. We're giving you the fruit of our labour. And again, that offering is made perfect in Jesus. But today we're looking at the lampstand and the light. And as we read in Exodus 25, that it's a golden lampstand. It's made of 34 kilograms of gold. That sounds like a lot, but actually in gold terms it's not all that much to make a lampstand. So the lampstand wouldn't have been a huge lampstand. It would have been probably fairly small. And it's got a central column, and then it's got three branches coming out on each side. So in total there's seven branches, and they all have a level top, and they're decorated with blossoms and cups and things, and it's all very ornate and beautiful. So that's a lampstand, and then on top are put lamps, just like my little lamp there, still burning beautifully, and William's warming his hands by it there. It's just on top of that, seven lamps like that, olive oil lamps. And these lamps sort of faced into the holy place to give light there. And the oil was made of special oil, out of olive oil, pure olive oil. And Israel, of course, the people supplied the oil for the lamps to illuminate the two tables, the table of incense and the table of the bread. And you may know that that lampstand, I mean, you see it as a symbol in Jewish religion still. It's called a menorah. And you sometimes see people making little models of them and sticking them in the windows and things like that. Anyway, there we are. What we're interested in today is, what is this a picture of? If it is a picture, well, what is it a picture of? So let's start with the lampstand itself. The lampstand doesn't give light, it's just a lampstand. What do lampstands symbolize in the Bible? Well, you flick through the Bible and you find a little bit about lampstands here and there, but the best place is actually in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And in the first chapter, there's Jesus walking in the midst of the lampstands, or the candlesticks. And it says, the seven lampstands that he's in the midst of are the seven churches that the letters written to. So lampstands are symbols of churches. The lampstand here is a symbol of Israel, the church of Israel, the people, before God. It's a symbol of the church. It's a symbol of us as well. Now, it's interesting that if you read carefully, you find that the lamps were only lit during the night. Remember when young Samuel was sleeping, and he actually was sleeping in the holy place, in 1 Samuel 3, it says God came to him, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. So it was left to go out in the morning when the oil ran out. Okay? So it burned through the night. This oil lamp burned through the night. And then it went out in the morning. And what did the priests do in the morning then? Because the tent, the inner tent, had four layers of precious animal skins over it. It was pitch dark inside. Absolutely pitch dark. Without this lamp, how did they get light? Well, everyone had tents. And in the daytime, they just simply lifted up the door of their tents, the skins over the top, so the light shone in. And that's what they did in the tabernacle too. We think that they just lifted up the skins and opened up the holy place. Now, if you look in your plan, if you were standing outside of the tabernacle, looking in the east, which is where the gate was, you could see right in then, during the day, into the most holy place. And you would see in there the altar of incense and the table of bread and the lampstand. The lampstand standing there right before the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the God of Israel was thought to be especially present. So the lampstand, the church, remember, is standing before God. That's the symbol that we need to get in our heads to start with. We must think about that. So Leviticus 24, verse 3. Outside the curtain of the testimony, testimony being the Ark of the Covenant, outside the curtain of the testimony, in the tent of meeting, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening till morning, continually, so through the night. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. So where is where are the lamps? They're outside the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant is concealed. They're right there, just separated from God's presence by a curtain. The lampstand before God. The church before God. Now that's the first thing I think we need to think of in our understanding of ourselves this morning. This is one thing the church needs to really understand of itself. We always, like the lampstand, stand in the presence of God. That's the symbol that there was for the Israelites to see every day. If they chanced to walk past the entrance of the tabernacle and looked in, they would see a picture of themselves, the lampstand standing in the presence of the most holy place before the Ark of the Covenant, on which was a lid with two cherubim, between which God himself was enthroned, as it was understood by the Israelites. God was there. And they were the lampstands, standing in the presence of God. That is what the church is. We sang it in Psalm 16 a minute ago. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I won't be moved. We live in the presence of God. Every day we're in the presence of God. Not just on a Sunday morning, but all the time. This is what the church is. People in the presence of God. Now, do you think of yourself in that way? Do you think you've done your bit after church on Sunday morning? You can go home and get on with your life until next Sunday. Or do you think, I'm as much in God's presence on Wednesday night or on Friday morning as I am on Sunday morning? I'm in God's presence whether I'm in the co-op or at the garage or on the croft or out in the sea or in the church building. Yes. The lampstand stands in the presence of God. That's a picture of us. We live in the presence of Almighty God. It's an awesome thing. But we need to realize it. Now, God is holy. Because God is holy and pure and glorious and majestic and far higher than we can understand or imagine. In the tabernacle, the things that are close to God are made of gold. The lampstand and the other two tables in the holy place, they're made of gold. And the lampstand has seven branches, seven being a number that's often used in the Bible of perfection and completeness. So again, in the lampstand there's a symbol of purity, of perfection. The church is purity and perfection, standing in the presence of God. It's a challenge to us not to be dross, not to be common, not to be defiled and dirty. It's a challenge to us to be holy. It's a challenge to us to be pure. We're going to live in God's presence. We are in God's presence. So let's seek to get rid of anything in our lives that contaminates our lives. But what about the oil? What does the oil symbolize? Actually, there are two kinds of oil that are used in the tabernacle. Whenever the priests are set apart to their jobs, they are anointed with oil. And it's not the same oil that's put in the lamps. It's a special anointing oil that's made, and you can read about that in Exodus and Leviticus 2. And then there's the oil that's put in the lamps, which is pure olive oil. But these two kinds of oil tend to be used in the Bible as a symbol, as I said to the children, as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So people are spoken of, just as the priests were anointed with oil, they're spoken of as being anointed by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, for example, in Acts 10, verse 38, is anointed by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed with oil, and the Spirit of God comes upon him. And I won't go into this one, but if you want to really scratch your heads about the symbolism of oil and the Holy Spirit, go to Zechariah chapter 4. It's an amazing chapter where you have these great words, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you've got this picture of this olive oil lamp being fed by two olive trees. And there's a whole picture of the Holy Spirit supplying the church, but that's quite a deep one. But again, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit being symbolized by the oil that goes in the lamps. And our lamp's still burning away there at the front. A symbol of the Spirit in the church. The Spirit who makes the church able to achieve, far more than she could ever achieve on her own. If we're going to live then before God, if we're going to be pure and holy before God, we need His help. I need His help. And you need His help. We need the oil of the Spirit. We sang a wee while ago, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." Well, we really need to mean that for ourselves. We do need the oil of God's Spirit in our lives. We need to say to God, "Look, I'm hopeless here, I'm helpless here." You know, like myself, before I come to church every Sunday, I say, "Lord, another Sunday morning has arrived and I feel even more inadequate than I did last week. And last week I felt more inadequate than I did the week before. I need the oil of your Spirit today. I can't do this without you." And you might be saying that about your friend at the office who's not a Christian, and you love her dearly, she's a great friend, and you just want to tell her about Jesus, and you just don't know how to. "Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to get it right. I'm just going to bumble. I'm going to make a mess. I'm going to make it worse for her. I'll drive it away from you. But give me your Spirit. Give me the oil of your Spirit. Anoint me and help me just to have oil in my lamp, to shine a light into my friend's life and circumstances." Or it may be that you're facing some real personal difficulty and struggle in your life. And you think, "I can't do this," because you're not thinking just about getting through today. You're thinking about, "How am I going to get through these next months or the years ahead? How am I going to do it?" And, you just come back and remember these oil lamps were filled day by day. They didn't come along with a huge big drum and fill them up for 20 years. They just came day by day, and God will fill us day by day with His Spirit for what we need in our lives. What we can't face on our own, but what we can with Him. It's possible that you're here this morning and you've decided that you can't do any more for Jesus than you're doing. Or that you just won't do any more. You've decided that really being a bright Christian is for other people. It's not for you. You've found things like forgiveness and loving your neighbor and living at peace with people and telling people about Jesus. You find that just too difficult. It's not for you, you think. And you don't really try to do them beyond sort of a very basic level. It's a bit like trying to drive with a flat tire. You ever done that? Driven along the road with a flat tire? You think, "What's that noise? This car's not handling well." And we're coming around a roundabout at Maryborough, thinking the car's doing a funny thing here. I must have picked up a flat coming down towards the roundabout. And I realised I had a flat tire and the car was behaving really badly, nearly crashed. Pulled off the road as quick as I could and changed the tire and got going again. Don't try and be a Christian on a flat tire. You know, don't try and be a Christian without the Spirit of Jesus. You know, let the Spirit of Jesus fill your life just as the air fills the flat tire, inflates it again and makes it able to carry the load of the car. May God's Spirit come and fill us. And then we can start to think, "Well, you know, I can forgive in this situation. I can forgive him for what he did. I can tell him about Jesus. I can get on with my next door neighbor. I can tell the truth when it's difficult. I can stop stealing time and resources from my employer. I can be a different person. I can be a better person. I can be more charitable, more gracious, more kind, more patient. I can, by the power of God's Spirit within me. Just as the oil fills the lamp so that it can give light, God's Spirit would fill us." Remember, we're just lampstands. The lampstand doesn't give light. The lampstand needs the oil, the lamp. And that comes from God. And then finally, There's the light itself, the light that is shone out from the lampstand. What does that symbolize? Well, that's probably the easiest one, because right throughout the Bible, and in fact even in culture, light is a picture of good things. And in the Bible, light is a picture of God. God is light, John says. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's a picture of God. God's light, his truth, his life. God, as the Bible often says, is a light in our darkness. He's a light for our path. And it's interesting to realize that in the camp of Israel, there was only one place where there was always light. In the daytime, with the front curtain lifted up, there was always light inside the holy place where the lampstand was. But then at night time, they pulled down the curtain, but there was still light in there because they lit the seven lamps. And they burned from evening, as it says in verse 3 here of Leviticus 24, till the morning. There was always light in the holy place. Always light in God's presence. So if we put this whole symbolic picture together, the lampstand then is a symbol of God's people. It stands before God, so it's a symbol of God's people in the presence of God. And the oil in the lamp is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes into God's people so that they can display the light. The light of what? Well, the light is God's presence. They can display the light of God's presence in their communities, in their homes, wherever they are. The light of God's presence by our pure gold living, our holy living, and are telling the truth of God. And we do that continually. That's a word that's often used of this in in Leviticus 24, verse 2, continually. Again in verse 3, and again in verse 4, continually. So there's the picture. It's a picture of us. And all around us here in Kyle, just as all around Israel, back in the times of the tabernacle, are people in darkness. The nations around Israel were in darkness. And God called Israel to be a light. They were supposed to be the lampstand from which the light of God's Spirit shone into the nations round about, the light of God's truth. But Israel failed. They really failed in their mission to do that. Instead, what happens is the darkness of the nations came into Israel and almost extinguished the light completely. And so God has called now the church to do that job. And in the world today, the church is the lampstand to shine the light of God, God's presence, into the world. God's light, God's truth, into the world. That's our calling. Jesus told us that. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. So Jesus himself was the perfect lampstand. He was the perfect fulfillment of the lampstand in the presence of God, holy and pure and filled to the fullness of God with the Spirit, shining the light of God's truth and love wherever he went. And that's our calling. To be like Jesus. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father on the day when he visits us. Or Paul says in Philippians 4, we're children of God in a crooked and a depraved generation in which we shine like lights in the universe, like stars in the universe, we shine. That's what we're to be, light. That's our calling. So here's how we understand ourselves this morning. We're in the presence of God, just as Jesus was. We're like that lampstand. We're in the presence of God, and we have the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then we can shine the light of God's presence God's love and God's peace and God's good news in Jesus to the world, as Jesus himself perfectly did. That's who we are. That's who the church is this morning. And that's what the symbolism of the lampstand tells you and me today. It's a challenge for us to live in God's presence, to be holy, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to shine the light of God, because God's helping us by his Spirit to shine the light of God to the people around us, that the people who walk in darkness may see a great light. God help us to do that for his glory and praise. Amen.